प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी जगद्गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories, all glories, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जाय मुदीरे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्योत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंद गोप कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। थैंक यू सो मच। हरे कृष्णा। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, its third canto, chapter number 2, Remembrance of Lord Krishna, text 16. Please repeat after me. Mam khedayati etad ajasya janma vidambanam yad वसुदेव गेहे व्रजे च वासो अरिभयाद इव स्वयं पुराद व्यवात्सेद यद अनंत वीर्यः माम खेदयत्से तदजस्य जन्म विडम्बनम् यद् वसुदेव गेहे व्रजे च वासोरि भयाद् इव स्वयम् पुराद् व्यवात्सिद्यदनन्त वीर्यः माम् खेदयत्यत् एतदजस्य जन्म विडम्बनम् यद् वसुदेव गेहे व्रजे च वासोरि भयाद् इव स्वयम् पुराद् व्यवात्सेद् यदनन्त वीर्यः माम् खेदयत्येतद् अजस्य जन्म विडम्बनम् यद् वसुदेव गेहे व्रजे च वासोरि भयाद इव स्वयं पुराद व्यवात्से यदनंत वीर्यः. माम खेदयत्ते तदजस्य जन्म विडम्बनं यत् वसुदेवगेः. जे च वासोरि भयातिव स्वयं यदनंत वीर्यः. माम खेदयत्ते तदजस्य जन्म पुराद्व्यवात्सेद्यदनंत वीर्यः. विडम्बनं यद् वसुदेवगेः चवासोरि भयादिव स्वयं पुराद् व्यवात्सेद्यदनंत वीर्यः. माम खेदयत्ते तदजस्य जन्म विडम्बनं यद्वसुदेवगेः. व्रजे च वासोरि भयादिव स्वयं पुराद्व्यवात्सेद्यदनंत वीर्यः. वैष्णवीस माम खेदयत्ते तदजस्य जन्म विडम्बनं यद्वसुदेवगेः. व्रजे च वासोरि भयादिव स्वयं पुराद्व्यवात्सिद्यदनंत वीर्यः. माम खेदयत्ते खेदयत्ते तदजस्य जन्म विडम्बनं यद्वसुदेवगेः. व्रजे च वासोरि भयादिव स्वयं पुराद्व्यवात्सेद्यदनंत वीर्यः. माम टु मी खेदयति gives me distress. Etat, this, ajasya, of the unborn, janma, birth, vidambanam, bewildering, yat, that, vasudeva gehe, in the home of Vasudev, vraje, in Vrindavan, cha also vasaha inhabitation ari enemy bhayad because of fear eva as if swayam himself purad from Mathurapuri vyavatsit fled yad one who is ananta viryaha unlimitedly powerful translation and purport by Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The translation, when I think of Lord Krishna, how he was born in the prison house of Vasudev, although he is unborn, how he went away from his father's protection to Vraja and lived there incognito out of fear of the enemy, and how, although unlimitedly powerful, he fled from Mathura in fear. All these bewildering incidents give me distress. Purport. Because Lord Shri Krishna is the original person from whom everything and everyone has emanated. Aham sarvasya prabhava. Bhagavad Gita 10.8. Janmadya yasya taha. It's Vedanta Sutra 1.1.2. Nothing can be equal to or greater than him. The Lord is supremely perfect. And whenever he enacts his transcendental pastimes as a son, a rival, or an object of enmity, he plays the part so perfectly that even pure devotees like Uddhava are bewildered. For example, Uddhava knew perfectly well that Lord Shri Krishna is eternally existent and can neither die nor disappear for good. Yet he lamented for Lord Krishna. All these events are perfect arrangements to give perfection to his supreme glories. It is for enjoyment's sake. When a father plays with his little son and the father lies down on the floor as if defeated by the son, it is just to give the little son pleasure and nothing more. Because the Lord is all-powerful, it is possible for him to adjust opposites such as birth and no birth, power and defeat, fear and fearlessness. A pure devotee knows very well how it is possible for the Lord to adjust opposite things. But he laments for the non-devotees who, not knowing the supreme glories of the Lord, think of him as imaginary simply because there are so many apparently contradictory statements in the scriptures. Factually, there is nothing contradictory. Everything is possible when we understand the Lord as the Lord and not as one of us with all our imperfection. Om Adnana Timirandhasya Jnana Janashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhesha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Mam kheda yatte da ajasya janma vidambanam yat vasudeva gehe vrajecha vaso aribhayadi vasvayam purad vyavatsidya anantavireha. When I think of Lord Krishna, how he was born in the prison house of Vasudev, although he is unborn, how he went away from his father's protection to Vraja and lived there incognito out of fear of the enemy, and how, although unlimitedly powerful, he fled from Mathura in fear. All these bewildering incidents give me distress. So Krishna's personality, we see, is bewildering for all those who do not understand what is the position of God, what is the position of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada mentions that every living entity is very dear to God, is very dear to Krishna. But because of forgetfulness of God, a living entity ends up suffering birth after birth in this material world. Srila Prabhupada also says that a living entity in its purest form is called devotee of Krishna, of devotee of God. So, Krishna's personality, as we can understand, that God is unborn. He is never born, he never dies. But at the same time, he took birth. Historically seeing, Krishna took birth. He appeared from the womb of Devaki in the prison house of Kamsa. What happened, as we all know, the time of marriage of Devaki, when Devaki and Vasudeva got married, Devaki's brother Kamsa was so happy that he said, "You sit back and relax in the chariot. I'm going to drive." He was so happy and he was in such a humble mood for a change, because Kamsa is very demoniac. He was such a miscreant and he harassed so many people, but on that day he was very happy. But as soon as he heard the ominous voice from the sky, which told him that 8th son of the same Devaki is going to kill you, everything changed. The same sister who was so dear became enemy. He was so happily driving the chariot. He started dragging Devaki by her hair and he took out his sword and about to kill her. So everything changed. In this regard, we can understand how the material relationships are. Sense gratification is the root of all the materialistic relationships. As soon as the sense gratification is stopped, then the friend becomes enemy. Like two friends who always smoke together. And one friend says that, "Okay, my dear friend, from today, I have decided to quit smoking. I have decided to be healthy." What happens? The other person stops seeing him. Why? Because no more benefit, no more interest, nothing to gain from that relationship. So all the materialistic relationships, more or less, the root cause is sense gratification. So immediately, Kamsa, he thought that, okay, if I cannot kill her, at least I have to put her in the prison house so I can watch and see the 8th child, and I want to kill the 8th child. At least I have to kill the 8th baby. So he killed all the sons, one after another, until the 8th. And we know Bhagavatam, how unfolds, how Krishna appears. Vasudeva and Devaki, they see the four-handed form of Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu tells that now that I'm taking birth, the first service to you, O my dear father, you have to take me to Vrindavan, Vraja. Jato gataha pitru gruhat vrajam edhitartho. Srimad Bhagavatam 9th canto describes, as soon as Krishna was born, Srila Prabhupada translates it so beautifully, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who is known as Leela Purushottam, took birth in the prison house of Kamsa from the womb of Devaki, but he immediately went to Vraja to expand the loving relationships with his secret devotees. So they were very intimate devotees of Lord Krishna in the Vrindavan that Krishna wanted to enjoy pastimes with. When in Vrindavan, Krishna kills so many demons. So it appears, how is Krishna killing? God, in the eyes of normal, like ordinary people, they think God means he has to be only forgiving and he cannot kill. How can God kill? How can God steal? Many times, Krishna's pastimes are bewildering. Just like, you know, in the episode of Bakasura, Krishna's entire body is soothing and cooling. That's how it is described. But when Krishna entered the mouth of Bakasura, the demon that came in the form of a crane, the Bakasura felt very hot sensation in the mouth. So Krishna, who is described as soothing and cooling, he became hot like fire in the mouth of Baka, in the beak of Bakasura. Krishna, that has been described as very soft, komalanga. His hands are so soft. Lotus hands, lotus feet, lotus face. Always we say lotus because it's so soft, tender. But when Krishna gives one punch to any demon, the demon experiences as if being a balloon who has been just burst. So he feels as if he's lost all his power. Krishna's personality is transcendental. That's why Shukadeva Goswami mentions that he's Adbhuta Karmana. No one can understand Krishna. He's beyond our understanding. What to speak of ordinary personalities, even the great personalities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they also cannot understand Krishna. So, in the chapter of Bakasura, it is described, Tam talamulam pradahantam agnivad gopal sonum pitaram jagadguru. Krishna, who appeared as son of a cowherd man, Gopal Sonu, who is the father of entire world. So, that is also contradictory. The father of entire creation has appeared as a son of a cowherd man. How to understand? So, Srila Prabhupada describes the intricacies in the personality of Godhead can be understood only by surrendering to the person who has understood the personality of Godhead. Otherwise, we cannot understand. Only if we try to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead through a pure devotee of Krishna, then only it is possible. To some extent, we can try. We can try to grasp some understanding about Krishna. Here, Uddhav Maharaj, he is telling that how Krishna went away from his father's protection to Vrindavan and lived there incognito out of fear of the enemy. So Krishna is living in Vrindavan incognito in fear of Kamsa. That's what appears. But he is killing all the demons. And when ultimately Akrura took him back, Krishna killed Kamsa very easily. Krishna killed Kamsa so easily. First, Krishna killed a gigantic elephant called Kuvalayapida. And Kamsa saw it. And Kamsa thought, how can these village boys, Krishna and Balram, kill such a gigantic, ferocious beast with their mere hands? He did not even lift any weapon. How can he kill? So Kamsa was really shocked. Because he did not understand how Krishna is transcendental. Krishna doesn't need any weapon. Later on, Krishna killed Kamsa. So what happened is, Kamsa had two wives. One was Asti, second one was Prapti. And they were the daughters of Jarasandha. So, After Kamsa was killed, the two daughters of Jarasandha, Asti and Prapti, they became widows. And Kamsa did not have a grown-up son. So they had no protection. They had nowhere to go. So they went back to Jarasandha. And they told everything that had happened and how their life has become miserable just because of this coward boy, Krishna. And that was the time that Jarasandha took a vow. He said that I will destroy the entire dynasty of Yadus. How dare they did this to my daughters. Now I have two widows sitting in my house and I cannot see their crying faces. So, here we understand Jarasandha was so inimical towards Krishna because of that. That was the reason. So he arranged such an army. He arranged 13 Akshohini Sena. Huge army he gathered and he attacked Mathura. When he came, it appeared as if an ocean of army has surrounded Mathura. And it's about to devour. The ocean is about to devour the beach. That's how the scene was. Krishna and Balram came out of Mathura, well dressed. Lalita Madhava, they were well dressed like princes, with armor and with their chariots. When Krishna and Balram came, they saw, it appeared as if the sun has been covered by dark clouds. Because Krishna and Balram, they were shining. And Srila Prabhupada beautifully writes that it appeared as if the Supreme Sun, Krishna, was covered with these dark clouds of different phalanxes of army of Jarasandha. Jarasandha first addressed Krishna, O Naradhama. He said, O Purushadhama. All the Vedic scriptures, all the scriptures we see that Krishna is described as Purushottama, the greatest among the all human beings, Purusha Uttama. Here Jarasandha calls him, O Purushadhama. Here beautifully Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions, actually, unknowingly Jarasandha glorified Krishna. He called him Purushadhama, means you are the worst among human beings. Literal translation. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, it can also mean Purusha Adhama, means the one who puts down everyone, who is highest and everyone is down as compared to him. One who can push everyone else down. It's also a synonym for Asamordhva. There is no one equal to Krishna and there is no one greater than Krishna. Then Jarasandha says that, O Krishna, you are the killer of your own relative. How could you kill your maternal uncle Kamsa? Srila Prabhupada writes beautifully that this is the demoniac nature of the people, that they don't want to see their own fault. Jarasandha ignored the fact that the Kamsa that he's trying to protect, he killed so many of his own nephews with his own hands. The infants of Devaki, he killed seven. He killed six sons of Devaki. So, this is the nature of the demonic personalities. They see the faults only in the other person. They don't see faults in themselves or their friends. And then the third thing he says, you are Gupta, you are Vaishya. Gupta means Vaishya or also means hidden. So that is also, Gupta's second meaning is hidden. That means you are hidden, you look like a human being. For human beings, you appear like a human being. They think you are one of us. For demigods, they think, oh, Krishna is one of us. But he is actually hidden. Nobody actually knows who he is. So after so much of talk, Jarasandha said, okay, attack. Enough is enough. I want to kill both of you, Krishna and Balaram. So that time, Krishna took his bow, Sharanga. That's why Krishna's name is Sharanga Dhar. So Krishna took his bow and he started shooting arrows so fast, it appeared that entire sky was darkened. It was covered by the arrows of Krishna and Balram. And Krishna started killing the soldiers so rapidly that it appeared that there was a river of blood. It appeared that there is a river of broken limbs of all the soldiers. Their hands were cut, their legs were cut, and Krishna's arrows were piercing everything. All the soldiers, all the thousands of them, all the infantry was finished by Krishna and Balram in no time. Here, Krishna showed his virya rasa. Krishna showed how he is ultimately powerful, supremely talented even in the fighting skills. He finished 13 Akshohini. Even more than the army of Kauravas. Kauravas had 11 Akshohini and Pandavas had 7 Akshohini. So Krishna finished, Krishna Balram 13 Akshohini, they finished. Finally, it appeared that only Jarasandha was there and a few of his friends were left. And Jarasandha was stunned, thinking that how it is possible that Krishna, who is just like a kid, he's like my grandson. Does he have so much power? And then when Jarasandha started fighting Balram with his Varunastra, he tied him. He couldn't even move. And then Balram had a plan let's take him in Mathura. Let's show it to all the citizens. Mathura, all the ladies in Mathura, they had gone on the top of their houses and they were watching the prowess, the beautiful display of fighting skills of Krishna and Balram. They were mesmerized. What kind of kings we have? Like, so powerful. They're not just beautiful. They are exquisitely beautiful. We love them just to watch, but they are powerful, as good as Lord Ramachandra. Just like when Lord Ramachandra, he finished 14,000 demons led by Kara and Dushan. Lord Ramachandra finished 14,000 demons in only 60 minutes or 70 minutes. Such a prowess he showed, and that time he was even without a chariot. So such a prowess, they saw all the inhabitants of Mathura. They were so happy, they were so pleased that these are our leaders, Krishna and Balram, who were completely protected under their rule. So that time, Krishna told Balram that, okay, don't take him. Let's not insult him like this. Even though, you know, he has done so much offenses, but still he is like our grandfather. So let's just release him. Because for a Kshatriya, if he is defeated, you release him or you kill him, it's the same. Because he has been insulted, he has been defeated. Even his life is as good as death. So just let's release him. So they released him. And when he was going back, he thought, now I'm going to take sannyas. Enough. Like today I have seen the end of it. I have been defeated by the kids. So because Jarasandha, as you know, he was really powerful. He was the most powerful. We can say he was one of the most powerful in the world because nobody knew how to kill him. He was born in two parts. Like when his mother gave birth, two parts were born separate. A dead child was born in two parts. So his father had no clue what to do with this. But there was one she-demon, whose name was Jara. She stitched the baby. So Jara Sandha. Sandha means the one who stitched. So Jara, the person who was brought to life by the she-demon, Jara. Jarasandha, that's the name. So nobody knew how to kill, because the only way he could have been killed, if someone bifurcates him, the same thing, the same stitches, if someone rips it from that and then throws them opposite direction, then only it was possible. So that's why he was so powerful and he was humiliated. So while going back, he thought, now I'm just going to take sannyas. But this is the power of wrong association. All his other friends and all, they told, no. It was just a bad luck. This time, it was just bad luck. You are so powerful, nobody can kill you. You are the most powerful. Let's try again. But this time you will get them. So next time he came again with the same arrangement of army. Same happened. They captured him and they released him. So the same thing happened 17 times. So much of humiliation, can you imagine? How can someone be humiliated so many times? But that's the problem with materialistic people. Egoistic people, ego is so strong that a person wants to try again and again. Even though he has been severely punished, even though somebody has been severely despaired, people keep trying because, oh, maybe this time I will succeed, this time I will succeed. That's the nature of the external energy and how external energy binds the living entities. Asha, Pasha, Shatir, Baddha. The living entity is bound by the invisible shackles of hope of enjoyment in the material world. Everyone thinks, okay, this time was tough luck, but I will be successful next time. Like there was one person recently, I think the Valentine's Day is coming up. So there are so many people who keep proposing to a girl. The girl says, no, I'm not interested. But the boy thinks, okay, I will try again. So try again and again. He gets rejected several hundreds of times, but still he has desire and he has hope that one day, that day will come, she will say yes. So, Asha Pasha Shatir Baddha. Living entity is captured with the invisible shackles of hope of enjoyment. So, Jarasandha came 17 times and all the time the problem happened. 18th of time, Krishna Balaram understood that this time he has a lot of army. This time he had a lot of strength. He had 23 Akshohini, almost double. So Krishna and Balaram, they were like, okay, let him come, who cares? We are used to finish 13 Akshohini, 10 more, what is the big deal? At the same time, a news came that because of little friction between Yadus and Gargamuni, there was a demon called Kalyavan who was born because Gargamuni was offended. So he pleased Lord Shiva. And with his benediction, he gave birth to Kalyavan. That's in Vishnu Puran. So Srila Prabhupada mentions this pastime. Srila Prabhupada mentions how Kalyavan came, and when he came, he asked, who are the most powerful kings in this world? What is the status? So he was informed by Narad Muni that Yadus are the most powerful. So he just wanted to fight and finish Yadus. That was the purpose of his life. That's the reason he was brought to life by Garga Muni. So Kalyavan also was supposed to attack the next day. And Jarasandha was also supposed to attack. So Krishna and Balaram thought that if we are engaged in fighting with Jarasandha from one side, then Kalyavan will attack from the other side. And if we are engaged and busy fighting with Kalyavan, then Jarasandha will attack from the other side and enter our city and kill so many of our innocent people. Especially kill our relatives because he is so inimical to Yadu dynasty. He wants to kill all the Yadus. So that's why Krishna, with his Leela Shakti, with his yoga, maya, internal potency, with the help of Vishwakarma, the architect of the demigods. he created a big city in the ocean. It was built 96 square miles, Srila Prabhupada mentions in Krishna book. And it was made up of touchstones. There were desire trees in that city. And each and every person in Mathura, he got a big palace. So there were no apartments. One bedroom, two bedroom. Everyone got a palace. There were skyscrapers. Beautiful. Indra was so pleased with the city of Dwarka and Krishna's display, how he beautifully arranged everything. So Indra gave so many gifts to Krishna. He gave the Sudharma, the parliament house. And all the demigods, they gifted so many things to Krishna. But the problem was, tomorrow Jarasandha is coming and Kalyavan is also supposed to attack tomorrow. How to shift so many thousands, actually millions of residents from Mathura to Dwarka? How to shift so many people? So this is Krishna's Achintya Lila Shakti. Inconceivable Krishna energy of Lord Krishna. Everyone slept in Mathura. All the residents, every citizen of Mathura slept in the night and woke up in Dwarka. Can you imagine? Like you sleep in your small little apartment. Some people sleep in their motor vans or the car or whatever. You sleep in the night in your little apartment and you wake up in your big gigantic palace. The palace that is made up of touchstone. The palace where there are not just little trees, ordinary trees. There were desire fulfilling trees. Such a beautiful pastime of Krishna that Krishna transferred everyone. And also it appears bewildering that Krishna is most powerful. He could have killed Kalyavan also. He could have killed Jarasandha also. He can kill anyone, anytime. Who is most powerful? Why does he have to apparently run away or shift entire city from Mathura to Dwarka? Hard to understand for ordinary people why Krishna, who is the most powerful, but then why apparently he ran away. Also in the battlefield, Krishna first killed Kalyavan with the help of Muchukunda. And then he came to fight Jarasandha, but then he also received a letter from Sri Rukmini Devi. Rukmini Devi also had written a letter to Krishna to please come and kidnap me. So Krishna thought, okay, I have to fulfill the desire of my devotee. So I have to go attend to Rukmini Devi. So I cannot keep fighting with this rascal right now. I'm tired. I already 17 times defeated. So Krishna said, okay, I'm going. So Krishna and Balaram, they went away from the battlefield. Which is very bad for Kshatriyas. Leaving the battlefield means you are a coward. But Krishna is glorified even for such a transcendental act. Krishna is called Ranachhod. And there are so many temples of Ranachhodji. That Krishna left the battlefield, but he is still glorified. So this is how Krishna's transcendental pastimes are very hard to understand. But by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by reading his books, all the things that I spoke today, they are directly from Krishna book. So we can understand so many details, so many intricate pastimes, their imports, their purports, by just the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. That's all that is needed. If we serve the spiritual master, if we sincerely serve Srila Prabhupada, everything is available. Everything has been given to us. There is an access given to us. The only thing is, we have to be willing to accept all the shower, the torrents of rain that are being mercifully showered upon us. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. Yes, Maharaj has something.
But what I would like to say about Jarasandha, you mentioned Jarasandha a number of times, and it was mentioned that he is very powerful, almost so powerful that he cannot be defeated. So when it was time for the Rajasuya sacrifice, they had to figure out, generally, it's led by the most powerful person. So Yudhishthira said, how am I going to kill Jarasandha? He's too powerful for me. He's too powerful for Bhima. He's too powerful for Arjuna. How are we going to get him? He says, don't worry. Krishna said, don't worry about it. Arjuna, myself, and Bhima will go to his place and will challenge him. So they got on their chariot and they reached, I forgot the name of the, you know, remember the city? Whatever. Anyway, they went to the city.
Magad?
Huh?
Magad?
No. So they went to Jarasandha's city. What did you say again?
Magad?
Maga. So they went to the city and they challenged. I won't go into some of the side details, but anyway, they challenged Jarasandha, who was super powerful. And Jarasandha accepted the challenge. And so there would be a fight. So it was allowed to Jarasandha to pick whether it would be Arjuna, whether it was going to be, he's going to fight with Bhima, or he was going to fight. What was the third one again? Yudhishthira.
Arjuna.
Yeah, Arjuna, Krishna, and Bhima. Yes, thank you. So Jarasandha thought, well, Arjuna, he's too young. If I beat him, there's no heroism in that. And I've already defeated Krishna, he said many times. So he said, I'll fight with Bhima. So Bhima said, okay, let's fight. So they went on, the fight went on for like, I think, 28 days. Is that correct? 18 or 28 days. And they're fighting and fighting and fighting and nobody is winning. So Bhima finally, he looks at Krishna, who's sitting in, you know, at the sidelines, and he says, how am I going to kill him? He doesn't die. And then also Jarasandha is thinking, how am I going to kill this Bhima? He doesn't die. So something has got to give. So then what happened is Krishna, he picks up a leaf and he tears it in half. It's part of your story, the early part of it. He tears it in half. And then Bhima gets the message that Jarasandha was made in two parts, like you said, from the witch Jara. So he's really not one piece, he's two pieces sewed together.
Yeah.
So if you can break the thread, you can break him. Okay? So that's what happened. Bhima finally got him down on the ground, put his foot on him, and then tore him in two pieces. The two pieces went away, and they tried to get back together again. So then Bhima, he took him, and he flung him so far that the two pieces could not come back together again. And that was how Jarasandha was killed. That's it. Okay, class dismissed. Everybody's
still sitting. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo.
Thank you, Maharaj, so much.
Well, I was just waiting for you to give me something to say. Thank you so much. Wonderful story, really. I was just sitting.